Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, I better give people a warning before I play this audio clip. There's going to be some pearl clutching over that one. So I better just say, okay, a little bit of a warning. Some of you might get triggered by this audio that I'm going to share here in just a few minutes. I want to give you some lead time. I don't want to just hit you with it smack right across the face right after we kick off the show here at 9:06 a.m., taking you statewide from Glendive to Missoula. But some of you heard some callers yesterday. They were referencing this conversation that I had with Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, the prominent border policy advisor to President Donald J. Trump. And he went off on Liberal Senator John Tester. And you guys know me. If I'm going to have a guest on the show here in the 9 o'clock hour, it's got to have a Montana angle. I mean, I could get national interviews all day long being on the radio, right? But you know, this is the 1 hour statewide across Montana where you truly get to talk, where you get to call in, you get to be heard, you get to interact with our guests. So it's rare that I will run recorded interviews. I want to get people on live. But I had to catch up with Stephen Miller. The only time he was available this week was at like 8:40 in the morning. So that's when I chatted with Stephen Miller. But I want to share just a portion of what he had to say because I'm getting so much reactions to it, so much feedback to it, that I know some of you in Plentywood and Glendive are thinking, wait a minute, what does Stephen Miller say? I haven't heard Aaron's interview on his Montana Talks podcast or anything like that. So what did he have to say? I'll play a portion of it for you again. Clutch those pearls, brace yourselves. Some of you might get triggered by what you're about to hear because you're not hearing it anywhere else. The TV stations aren't covering the news. The Lee newspapers aren't covering the news. So it's left up to little old me and your local radio stations to give you the news. So that's why, you know, you get to hear some things here that you don't hear anywhere else. Let's see. We got some other great content coming up for you here this morning. First off, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. And then coming up at 9:40 this morning, State Senator Mike Lang is going to be with us. State Senator Mike Lang out of Malta, Montana. He was the sponsor of Senate Bill 442. Senate Bill 442, that is the bill that's been in the news lately here because that is the bill that would have reallocated all of the revenue coming from marijuana taxes. And lawmakers across Montana right now are being asked to vote on SB 442 once again, even though the bill was going through the legislative session over nearly a year ago. There is a veto override poll out to lawmakers right now. We had a couple of phone calls about that topic last week on the program. Senator Mike Lang is the sponsor of that legislation, so he's going to talk about that in the second half of the show here this morning. But first up, I'll brace yourselves. I'll play a little bit of the Stephen Miller audio right after this, and then we'll jump into your phone calls. 406-294-0970.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here, real quickly here before I jump back into it. This is kind of exciting. Well, it's very exciting. I told you last week, you know, we were in Plentywood for the Farm Expo, and then I was in Luster for Schmeckfest, and we've been doing a really fun statewide tour, kind of separate from the radio station here. I've been partnering with Americans for Prosperity Montana and doing this statewide tour paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. And so we've been getting to travel all across the state. Well, tomorrow night, Friday night in Helena, Jimmy Fallon is the former New York City cab driver. Turned stand-up comedian, and now he has a Saturday night TV show on Fox News. He is performing a comedy stand-up show at the Civic Center in Helena. So I'm gonna go to that event tomorrow night. Because, man, Jimmy Failla is just hilarious. So since I'm, heading to Helena for the Jimmy Failla comedy show, why not do some events while we're in Helena, right? Friday, tomorrow afternoon, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., come out and see me. I'll be at Bob's Valley Market. And I'll be at Bob's Valley Market. Great spot. A lot of you will probably be heading there anyway because you're probably picking up your Montana Valley hams for Easter Sunday. So come out and see me at Bob's Valley Market, and we'll have some fun stuff for you there as well. And then Saturday morning, we're going to have a fun event at 1889 Coffee in Helena Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then from 12 to 2, we'll be at Shelley's Cafe. And we'll be picking up part of your tab at all these locations, by the way, so to combat inflation. So that's going to be a ton of fun. All right. The warning went out. The warning went out. Some of you might get triggered by this. Last weekend, Montana Senator John Tester cast a series of votes, a series of far-left votes supporting the open borders immigration invasion. He voted against the Lake and Riley Act. He also voted in support of men taking away opportunities from women and girls. He voted to allow men into girls' locker rooms. So he voted in support of the open borders agenda and the radical transgender agenda in a series of votes last weekend. Stephen Miller, prominent advisor to former President Donald J. Trump, sounded off via Twitter over the weekend. And then I had an exclusive interview with him earlier in the morning yesterday. Here's part of what he had to say.
The bottom line of what I was trying to get at, and that I hope that you all understand, I've been working here in Washington for a number of years now. It is the biggest open secret in the city of Washington that John Tester hates Montana, hates Montanans, laughs at you all, mocks you, and comes to D.C. and is Schumer's and Pelosi's and Biden's errand boy. He is their errand boy. He does not give one damn about what is good for Montana. He does whatever he is told by Schumer, Pelosi, now Jeffries, and Joe Biden. And it is a disgrace. It is a disgrace. He thinks that every election year, a few months out, his out-of-state rich buddies can dump millions of dollars into TV ads and show them up there and say, hey, look at me. I've got a buzz cut. I wear flannel shirts. I'm a normal guy. Vote for me. Ignore my years of horrific, radical, Marxist votes. That's how little he thinks of the people of Montana. He thinks of a bunch of rich guys from Manhattan and Los Angeles dump a bunch of money onto broadcast networks in Montana, and he's standing out there and saying, oh, look at me. I'm a normal guy like the rest of you. Look at me. I'm a dirt farmer. Well, that dirt farmer just voted to let men compete in women's sports. Men, biological men, to compete against your daughters, to change in their dressing rooms, to undress biological men with male anatomy, to undress in front of little girls. That's what he voted for. Have you met one dirt farmer in Montana, real dirt farmer, who thinks that's okay? Have you ever met one? I haven't. Who is this man? What is wrong with him? And why, in God's name, would somebody claiming to represent Montana subject your daughters to that kind of humiliation and pain? John Tester just also voted to kill the Lake and Riley Act. Lake and Riley was the young girl allegedly murdered by an illegal alien that Joe Biden led into the country. So an amendment was introduced on the last spending bill to require Joe Biden and sanctuary cities to kick criminal migrants out of the country. Very simple amendment. Very simple. Just criminal migrants, go home. And how did John Tester vote? He said, keep the criminal migrants here in America. Shelter them, love them, care for them, but sure as hell don't deport them. What kind of monster votes that way? What kind of human being would subject more families to the torment, agony, and pain that the family of Lincoln Riley experienced? John Tester is not misguided. He's not confused. He's not well-meaning. He is atrocious. He he is malevolent. And his play act, his little joke, his little con job, it has got to end. Because people are dying. Families are losing loved ones. Fentanyl is being trafficked across the border. Criminal gangs are infiltrating this country. And John Tester votes to stop the Lincoln Riley Act from becoming law. He also...
All right, anyway, and Stephen Miller went on and continued sounding off. Full audio on our Montana Talks podcast. Quick break here on this show. We've got the phone lines open for you, anything and everything you want to talk about here on the show where Montana gets to talk. Montana Talks, 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, the old Montana Supreme Court is back at it again here. Did you guys see this in the news? What is it? 3 years later? 3 years after the fact? Take your sweet time, Montana Supreme Court. Oh, and here they go again. You know, Stephen Miller was talking about the Mexican drug cartels and the fentanyl that's invading our communities here in Montana. And killing people, literally killing people. And, you know, we've got youth gang activity going on. There was a 12-year-old who was just murdered in Billings just a few weeks ago. We've got crime, running rampant because of the drug cartels and more. And all these courts are so backlogged. They're so busy. They don't have enough people. They're overworked. But yet they have all the time in the world to interfere in legislative affairs. And to interfere with the work that was done by the Montana legislature. They don't want to do their job and be fair justices on the Montana Supreme Court. Instead, they want to be legislators and they want to make laws. And that's exactly what they did once again. Don't know if you saw this headline here. This was from KTVH TV in Helena. Montana Supreme Court blocks four voting-related laws from the 2021 legislature. The four bills at issue in the case were House Bill 176, which eliminated Election Day voter registration and closed the late registration window at noon the day before an election. House Bill 506 was another one dealing with, underage folks and absentee ballots. There was House Bill 530 regarding ballot harvesting. Of course, the radical left-wing activists on the Montana Supreme Court, they don't want to interfere with ballot harvesting operations. I mean, you've got – our friend David Noble was telling me about this. They have out-of-state left-wing groups that are paying people to do ballot harvesting in Montana. The legislature tried to protect from that taking place in Montana, but no. Bowing to their out-of-state donors, the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, they couldn't stop paid ballot harvesting from taking place in Montana. And then Senate Bill 169, which dealt with having an ID card to vote, an official ID card to vote. The main one I want to focus on here is the first one that I mentioned, House Bill 176. Let me ask you, if you're a senior citizen, if you're a Native American, if you're a college student, tell me, what is easier to do? Is it easier to register 364 days out of the year? Heck, you can print it up, sign it, mail it back in. You don't even have to leave your house to register to vote. Is it easier to register 364 days out of the year by a Monday at noon? Or is it easier to sit in line for 4 hours on a Tuesday just to try to cast your vote? What's easier? Now, you might be wondering, Aaron, why did you specifically mention Native Americans and senior citizens? Because that's who they mentioned. These white folks, who by and large make these arguments, by the way, I mean, wow. Wow. I mean, think about what these white folks are saying here. These white folks are saying, just like they say about black Americans, Well, if we require an ID card to vote, that will prevent black people from voting. What did you just say? You white guy just said that black people don't know how to get an ID card to vote? Are you calling them stupid? I mean, you want to talk about racist nonsense. Saying that, oh, if we require an ID card to vote, it'll make it harder for Native Americans and black people to vote. What? What kind of racist garbage is that? And, oh, by the way, most tribal elections, you need a tribal ID card to vote in. So, but yet these white folks are saying, oh, it's we'll make it too hard on Native Americans if we require an ID card to vote. Well, it goes back to what Stephen Miller said. These people think you are stupid. And again, what's harder? Registering to vote 364 days out of the year or sitting in line for 4 hours, which some of you have had to do on election day because of this same-day voter registration nonsense. Those were the bills that the Montana Supreme Court has now, you know, and just common sense measures. Those were the bills that the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court has now blocked, which, again, underscores the importance. Everybody gets whipped up into a frenzy about the presidential race, Trump, Biden. Everybody gets whipped up into a frenzy about the Senate race and congressional races here. Folks, these local elections are absolutely critical, especially when it comes to the courts and especially when it comes to the Montana Supreme Court. They are taking, you know, you cast your vote for who you want your lawmaker to be, and you send them to Helena with very clear instructions. You want voter ID. You don't want these crazy long lines on election day. You want election integrity. But no, these judges just take all that work and they throw it in the trash can. They abuse their positions of power to push their agenda. Let's see. Senate President Jason Ellsworth out of Hamilton released this statement in response to the ruling from the Montana Supreme Court saying, quote, "The Montana Supreme Court is operating so far outside its constitutional boundaries that more and more justices are breaking from the majority to condemn their colleagues' overreach. Today's court decision is just the latest in a troubling string of rulings intruding into the legislature's constitutional lawmaking role. In the coming days, I plan to announce the formation of a new legislative committee tasked with addressing our out-of-control courts." So that was the response from Senate President Jason Ellsworth. By the way, this kind of ties in with the conversation we're going to have coming up here in just a few minutes with State Senator Mike Lang out of Malta. He was the author of Senate Bill 442. And there's a connection here. You know, the liberal courts are basically forcing this vote on Senate Bill 442. And so one of the questions I'm going to ask Senator Lang is if he, you know, because he's a supporter of this legislation, he introduced it, if he is worried that because the courts have forced this vote, that folks who otherwise would have supported SB 442 and supported a veto override, if they might not vote in support of it now, mainly as a way to stand up to this interference from the liberal courts here in Montana. So that conversation will be coming up here shortly. All right, let's go into the phone lines here. We've got Richard in Bozeman next up. Richard, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for letting me call in. I don't know if you brought this up regarding the Supreme Court, but I just got a revised county tax bill in the mail yesterday, and here's what it says. Last year, the Department of Revenue concluded that for tax year 2023, 77.9 mils would be sufficient to meet the budgetary requirements of the state school equalization funds, rather than 95 mils, which had been billed in previous years, and the bill you received from the county reflected that reduction. However, based on a recent ruling from the Montana Supreme Court, which authorized the department to levy the maximum mill amount regardless of the budget, the county has been directed to collect the full 95 mills, and your second half tax bill has been amended accordingly. So I got another increase besides the protest I filed back in last year. I got another increase in my second half of over $100.
Mm.
So
I was going to say the taxes just got to be crazy in Bozeman and Gallatin County. Yeah.
Yeah, the Supreme Court is now setting the budgets for us in the schools. So we've got to do something to change the Supreme Court.
That's right.
It's just outrageous. I don't know what to do. You know, I'd like to find out who brought this case up that allowed the Supreme Court to say, oh, your budget isn't sufficient.
Well, the people who brought the case, I think they were well-intentioned. They were trying to force the ability to lower the 95 mils. But I said from day one, I said, you know, you think these liberal courts are going to allow the state to lower property taxes? Man, it was a lawsuit in liberal courts that forced the 95 mils in the first place. You think they're going to take it away? No way. You know, you know what else could have been in that letter, Richard? The Gallatin County Commissioners should have informed you about how they voted to raise their own pay. So did they not send you a thank you for raising their pay? Did they not include
No way. I think that the legislature, I'm assuming they have responsibility for budgeting the salaries of the Supreme Court. So I think they ought to reduce their salaries by the amount of mills that they raise.
Yeah, they control their budget, so there should be impacts. They should feel the ramifications of their decisions. They want to be legislators? Well, they can go take the same pay these legislators get, which is basically like per diem. Hey, Richard, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Let's go next. We've got Paul in Butte. Paul, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks.
So about 2 years ago, I was, you know, they were doing with the voter ID laws. And I'm a staunch conservative and not stupid. I'm a retired Navy CB. And so I called Tester and got, of course, one of his aides. After I got his aide, they sent me a letter. And it was, you know, he's a sponsor of the bill. He's this, he's that. And then I replied, of course. And got the typical runaround that you get from Tester's office, because that's not the first time I contacted him. And then I got a phone call from one of his aides asking why I wouldn't support the bill. I'm Mexican and native, and my dad was from Norway. So what they're telling, and I replied with, so what you're telling me, because I have...
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. I got to hit a hard break here. But Paul, I'll chat with you during the break and then come back to you right afterwards real quick. Stand by.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
With weather uncertain and cattle prices very good, it's not anticipated that ranchers will retain replacement heifers this year. DTN Livestock Analyst, Shaley Stewart.
I think for a lot of producers, it comes down to a cash flow decision. There is a lot of money that's left on the table when you're not selling females in this market. You know, the steers, they're selling through the auction ring and bringing historically high prices. But their sister mates, they're also bringing high prices. And so it's that balancing act of, I know these genetics, I want to keep them in my herd, I want to run with this genetic line and the integrity of it. But at the same time, it's really hard to forego potentially $2,000 for a heifer calf. That's extremely hard to do. I think it comes down to an individual and a per operation basis that has to look at cash flow, that has to look at their 5, 10, 15, 20 year plan and say, what is my goal? And a lot of producers have said, you know, with having to service a debt and most producers having to service debt, they've let more females go than they'd ideally like, just simply because debt is a talking point.
And there's also another issue.
Who's going to be buying these females? As the cow-calf producers become an aging populace, it's hard to find capital as a young producer that's readily accessible. And so, you know, when you're borrowing money and it's 8, 9, 10, maybe even 11%, that's tough to swallow.
With these factors, Stewart does not believe the cattle herd can be rebuilt as fast as it was in the years of 2014, 15, and 16. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got a message on our Montana Talks app here from Mitch in Kalispell. We can't say it enough. We need Dan Wilson and Corey Swanson this election. I hope you can keep saying their names. For those who may not have heard you previously, it is vital people know who the conservative choices are on the ballot for state Supreme Court. Dan Wilson and Corey Swanson. Mitch, thanks for that message. Let's see. I'm going to get to Senator Mike Lang, State Senator Mike Lang out of Malta here in just a second. But we had a couple callers that I wanted to sneak on before we ran out of time. First, we go back to Paul in Butte. Man, this is pretty hysterical. I was chatting with Paul during the break here. So, Paul, do I have this right? So you're Mexican American, you're Native American, and you got some Scandinavian American thrown in there too, just so you can have the lefse. So Senator Tester's staff assumed that you would like their bill. They thought, oh, hey, he's Mexican, he's Native, he doesn't want to have to show an ID when he votes. Is that what they were thinking?
Yes. So when I did talk to the staff, finally on the phone, I made it very clear that I wasn't gonna support that. They asked why, and I said, why would I support a bill that takes away from the rights of this country when just anybody can vote? Because as you know, and the rest of the state knows, we're being overrun by illegal immigrants that are coming here, taking jobs, and now we're going to let them vote? That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to the rest of us. Well, man, that's a great story. I'm really glad you called in, Paul. And thanks for listening to KXTL. Apologize, we don't have more time or we keep mixing it up, but I appreciate you calling in. Call back again soon. Sneak in one more caller here quickly before I get to Senator Lang. Linda in Scobie. And Linda, great to see you at the Farm Expo in Plentywood last Friday.
Yes, it was great. Thank you. And I'm just calling in regard to the Supreme Court, and everybody, any candidate or any legislature needs to read Dave Howard. He was a senator from Park City. He still is there, and he wrote the Supreme Court's confidence game, The Lie of Judicial Supremacy. And it's the theft of power and control from we the people. It is extremely critical because the legislature can take the power back from the judicial. They just don't know how to do it.
That's right. Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, no, that's right. Thanks for calling, Linda. And we had him on the show shortly after his book launched. I actually wrote one of the forewords for the book. It was such an honor. But he shows in that book how the legislature not only can do it, but how the Montana legislature has done it in the past. They actually successfully pushed back against the Montana Supreme Court and blocked them from implementing some woke new requirement on lawyers in the state. So he shows how it can be done as well. All right, Linda, great to hear from you. Hopefully we'll see you 1 week from tomorrow when we're back in Scobie. Let's go to Senator Mike Lang out of Phillips County, out of Malta, Montana. Senator Lang, thanks for being with us this morning.
You're welcome, Aaron. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, well, it was great getting your phone call, and I ran into our friend, former State Senator John Brendan, and so he was telling me he got to catch up with you as well. Last week, I don't know if you heard the phone call, but we had a great phone call from State Senator John Fuller out of the Flathead when this whole SB 442 issue was in the news, and he said this. He said, look, he said, I support SB 442. I think he said he voted for it, but he didn't like the fact that the liberal courts are now forcing a vote on a veto override. So it sounds like he said he's going to vote against overriding the veto. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there because I know you are the author or the sponsor of this legislation. So I know it's a bill you support. Are you concerned that because of the court's interference, that it might tank support for SB 442?
Well, Aaron, the courts have got into this. I felt early on that the veto override should have ran. The legislature should have had the chance to override a veto. That was stalemated. Then it went to courts. And do I think courts overstep their bounds? Yes. In this case, I'm not saying they do. I'm just, as a Republican, yes, we worry about that. I think this coming November, Montana talks. Montana has to talk, and they should do that through their election up to the Supreme Court. It's a process that has not maybe fit too well. Do I think that some courts are liberal? Yes. But I, as you know, the legislator is, the legislature is a lot of battles of debate and ideas and those kind of things. And I felt that the 442 is a good bill for the state of Montana. And I think it should have had the override early on in this, or after the session, Signe died and closed. There would have been a chance had the bill not been moved through the 11th hour and got the veto that fast.
So Senate Bill 442, for those who aren't tracking or don't recall, that's the bill that would have reallocated the marijuana tax revenue, the tax revenue that's coming from, you know, the legalized recreational marijuana. And so, you know, agree or disagree with recreational marijuana, we're getting tax revenue from it. So this is a question not about should it be legal, should it not be legal. This is about what do we do with the money. And, yeah, I was talking, you know, so former Senator John Brennan, he said, man, Daniels County will do very well under SB 442. We'll get a lot of road money out of this deal. And I looked at a chart that I think Legislative Services put out, and yeah, there's some rural Montana counties that are going to get a lot more road money out of SB 442 than they're putting into the pot with pot money, you know what I'm saying, with the marijuana taxes. So then on the flip side, there's some counties like Yellowstone County and others that put a lot of pot money into the pot, but won't get as big of a share of the road money. But there's always, you know, different iniquities when it comes to statewide funding for different things, right?
Yeah, I think you know that you can talk about that, and we can talk about all we want, but the, you know, the coal, the gas, the timber money is thrown in a general fund. It's allocated all throughout. You know, we fund theaters. We fund all kinds of things in the state of Montana. And one thing, once you give a human being something, they do not want to let go of it. And that's probably the problem we have. But I think we're losing some diversity in Montana, where we are pitting people against people. And because we all share from North Dakota border to the Idaho border, from Canada to the Wyoming border, and it's our state. And but the money is used by lots of different entities in the state.
Yeah, but from your standpoint, for your constituents in Northeast Montana, what's the biggest selling point for you for why you supported and sponsored SB 442?
Well, as you stated, a lot of the money came for roads, okay? And I have a personal idea of Montana is growing. Montana has lots of people that have paid vacations, that kind of thing. They want to come to the East. Aaron, you were raised in Glasgow. You know what it's like out there. We want to have people want to come out there. And then since COVID, there's been a lot of people come.
That's right.
To Eastern Montana to enjoy the what we have to offer. But in the same token, last winter, when three of my ranchers ran off the road that was covered with snow and from the ruts from all the hunting that went on during the rainy season out there, I went forward with this bill. Now, did the bill just transpire last year? No, it's been 5 or 6 years of talking from commissioners from Havre to Ekalaka and all the gumbo we have out there and the maintenance and the low population that's been brought up. We have less taxpayers. So how do we capitalize on tourism dollars and use whatever dollars are available? We tried to do some tourism dollars to help out Daniels County with their state lands. That didn't work, so this is why I came about 442. But it does a lot more than just roads.
That's right. Yeah, there's funding for trails, state parks, increases funding for addiction services. It's got provides for some permanent property tax relief to disabled veterans and their widowed spouses. I mean, that's just some of them. I know from a conservation standpoint, there's lots of conservation groups who were big supporters of this as well. And we'll come back to that here after our next break. It'll be our shortest break of the hour. But Senator Lang, yeah, I was in Malta for a live show we did there just before Christmas talking about about out-of-state hunters, and yeah, roads was a big topic of conversation. And, you know, you think about roads, you mentioned, you know, Valley County right down the road from you, and, you know, you think about it from a county road standpoint, being at the Mackers convention last year, I mean, you know, you've got just as many roads to have to maintain, just as many miles of roads in some of these smaller, you know, populated counties as you do in the larger populated counties. So that's a reason why the funding may not look the same all across the map, right? Anyway, back to it after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're talking with State Senator Mike Lang, the sponsor of Senate Bill 442. He is encouraging his colleagues to vote to override the veto of SB 442. We've only got a quick few minutes left this hour of the show, but I see we've got another state senator, Brad Molnar, on the phone lines. Senator Molnar, did you have a quick question or comment?
Well, it's more of a comment. What the bill does or who gets funding is absolutely immaterial. This is a question of constitutionality, which half hour before this, people were talking about activist courts. To my knowledge, this is the first time in the history of Montana or the nation that a court has taken a bill that legally died in process, did a Lazarus because a bunch of liberal fringe lawyers asked them to, brought the bill back to life, ordered a governor to write a veto message, ordered the Secretary of State to do a poll, not allow her to reveal the poll, and the whole thing is still in appeal. What Mike Lang is doing is against everything he believes in and talks about.
Well, and yeah, the Secretary of State, Christy Jacobson, she basically referred to that. She said this is unprecedented. Never in our statehood, never even in our territorial days has this been done. Have we forced a vote like this? Senator Molnar, thanks for the call. Senator Lang, your response.
Well, Senator Molnar has got his own opinion. And like all bills that you draft up, you have opposition. Now, I don't have a lawyer background. All I can do is do what I consider common sense. Now, I will agree that lawyers and courts can make things messy. We've definitely made this thing messy, and if it has to be that the Constitution infringement is on here and this bill is in the middle of it, then I hope the legislature will pick it up and do what the people want her to do in the next session and make it right. But it's a tough place to be in, Aaron. I'm going to fight this, do this bill, and that's the way it is. So.
Yeah, and then what else did you want to say, Senator Lang, too? I mean, I definitely wanted to sneak in some phone calls here, but I know I haven't really given you an opportunity yet to talk about other reasons why you supported crafting this legislation on top of the county road money for your county and others.
Well, I think it behooves Montana to work together to try to figure this out. How can we all get along? And this brought through a very different groups of people. With my experience with the Sage-Grouse bill that we did and passed, that brought me to the table with a lot of these groups. And we had discussions, and we brought the same discussion of this bill. I have some ideas and the governor does too, but we have not proceeded with it of how can we build bridges gap between recreation, agriculture, private land, private property rights, and get respect for all to come around there. And one of the ways to help Eastern Montana was with the road money. We also have the veterans and a lot of these other things that were being helped in this bill, but Montana has to understand wildlife belongs to all of us, but there is private property rights in the middle of this thing.
How much money are we talking about here with regard to this revenue, and where has the money been allocated now, and what could it potentially be pulled from if it gets reallocated, if 442 does get overridden and then goes into effect?
Well, the marijuana tax bill is set up to do Habitat Montana. It's supposed to get, that's what the initiative did. This money that we are trying to get for roads comes out of what the governor would have discretion to spend. We spent a little bit more in veteran services and some of the opiate addiction issues, all stuff that the governor will have to reckon with as we go down the road. This is a way to solve it. If the bill would have passed, or if it would pass, it could be looked at by a fellow legislator down the road to tweak it wherever, you know. I don't think Montana deserves to do populations against acreage, but that's really where we're at here.
Interesting. Well, we've got less than a minute to go. Have you been doing any vote counting? Have you been whipping the votes? What do you think might happen?
Well, no, I have not. I'm not very good at that. I've always stuck to my issues, and whether I won a bill or I lost a bill. I think over the years I passed good bills for the state of Montana. This Supreme Court issue that is in the middle of this, like I say, I'm not a lawyer. I did have a decent email from a legislative friend last night that maybe was explaining something, but I still have a hard time understanding the legal part of it. Many times in the legislature, I wished I had some lawyer background, but I do not.
That's right. Well, I know Montanans won't hold it against you. They probably got a good bevy of lawyer jokes in their back pocket to be used at any time. But, Senator Lang, thanks for calling in this morning. Great to catch up with you. And maybe we'll see you in Scobie a week from tomorrow. I know a bunch of other folks from across northeast Montana are going to be with us. So hopefully we'll see you there. Thanks again for your time this morning here on the show. What's coming up Friday? I'm going to be in Helena for some great weekend events. I'll tell you about that again tomorrow. But coming up tomorrow here on Montana Talks, we'll have some more open phones time. And one of the Democrat candidates for governor will be with us in the second half of Friday's Montana Talks. So stay tuned for that one coming up Friday right here. The show you get to where